us an alternative way of living. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. In a stressful world where so many are weary and burdened, Jesus promises us rest. He offers to take our yoke and replace it with his own. Now, yoke is a wooden frame joining two animals, usually oxen, as they plough a field or pull a wagon together. And the function of the yoke is to make the burdens easier to carry, pulling them together much easier than trying to do it all by yourself. And the word that was used here uses a metaphor to describe being under someone's power. At this very time, the Jews were under the Roman yoke, which was oppressive, which was charging them more taxes than what they should have been paying. But Jesus says, all you need to do is come under my power, my yoke. Let me guide you where you'll go and what you'll do. Accept me as your teacher, your instructor, your captain, your guide. Jesus says, come, walk with me, walk my way. I love this image of walking with Jesus, sharing our burdens, making the trials to be endured and the battles to be faced easier and light by comparison of trying to walk without Jesus. And Jesus promises that if we walk with him, then we will find rest. John Mark Comer has written this book called Practicing the Way. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And we studied it as a parish a year ago. And it's a really good book, I recommend it. And in it, he writes these words. The spiritual journey begins with rest. You see this on the first page of the Bible. Well, the day begins at sundown with sleep. And the week begins on Sabbath with rest. And he goes on to say that when he offers spiritual direction to people, he often begins by prescribing sleep, margin, time off work, rest. Because chronically exhausted, sleep deprived, overbusy people are not loving, peaceful, and full of joy. Rest is essential to following Jesus. Tiredness is an unavoidable feature this side of eternity. But so many of us operate at a dangerous level of tired. So much we can't sense God's presence or hear his voice. Now, a Sabbath is an entire day of your week, 1/7 of your life, set aside to not only stop and rest, but also delight in God and to worship him. It's a day to cultivate joy in a world of sadness. So what's the difference between a day off and a Sabbath? Well, another one of John Mark Comer's books, and I'm not on commission, by the way, just to say, The Root of the Elimination of Hurry, he says, on a day off, you don't work for your employer, in theory, but you still work. You run errands. You catch up around the house or apartment. You pay the bills. You make an IKEA run. And you play. You see a movie, kick a soccer ball with friends, you go shopping, cycle through the city, and that's all great stuff. And he says he loves his day off, but those activities don't make a Sabbath. He says, when I Sabbath, I run each activity through this twin grid. Is this rest and worship? And if the answer is no, or kind of, or not really, or then he simply holds off. Because there's 6 other days to do that. What's the rush? After all, I'm not in a hurry. And he goes on to describe what a typical Sabbath looks like for him. Just before sunset on Friday, we finish up all of our to-do lists and homework and grocery shopping and responsibilities, and we power down all our devices, including their phones, and they gather around the table to pray as a family. We open a bottle of wine, light some candles, read a psalm, pray, and then we feast, and basically don't stop feasting for the next 24 hours. We sleep in on a Saturday morning, we drink coffee, read our Bibles, pray more, spend time together, talk, laugh, and in the summer walk to the park, and in the winter light a fire. We get lost in good novels, on the couch, cuddle, nap, and make love. And something happens about halfway through the day, something hard to put language to. It's like my soul catches up to my body, like some deep part of me that got beat up and drowned out by meetings and email and Twitter and relational conflicts and the difficulty of life that comes back to the surface of my heart. And I feel free. Free from the need to do more, to get more, to be more. Free from the spirit, the evil demonic spirit of restlessness that enslaves our society. I feel another spirit, the Holy Spirit, of restful calm settle over my whole person. And I finally find that my ordinary life is enough. You may hear these words of John Mark Comer and think, I could never do that. Or maybe I'd love to do that. And when I first read The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry back in 2022, it really, really helped me to slow down. It's challenging stuff, but actually super helpful. And I was on sabbatical then, so it was quite a good time to read it and put it into practice. And so now when Rachel and I have a day off, we aim to get out of Herne Hill, partly because I don't bump into anybody, no offence, but also we want to do things that are going to be relaxing and fun, whereas if we stay at home, we just end up doing house chores or gardening or whatever, don't really properly relax and rest. My friend Will, which some of you know, All Saints crowd, Will Haig, has recently started a monthly podcast called Life Through Feathers, which is about bird watching and where birds meet the wider world, such as things like music and football. And I featured on Will's latest podcast, talking about the Liver Bird, which appears on Liverpool's football shirt, who I support. It's not a real bird. It's kind of crossed between a cormorant and an eagle. If you want to know more details, listen to the podcast. Again, not on commission for that. Now, I never used to do any bird watching. In fact, my bird knowledge was pretty much zero before I listened to Will's podcast. And now I try and do a little bit of bird watching every day. And I use the Merlin Bird ID app to help me identify the birds through the sounds they make or for a photo. And it's lots of fun. And it's helped me to relax more, to not just look at my phone or do some work if I have a spare moment. If I'm kind of traveling around, I think, oh, listen to the birds around here. It's also helped me to appreciate God's creation. And sometimes God's reminding me of hymns like how great they are, or Bible verses like Matthew 6, where Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns? And yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? It's important to rest. Not just on our days off, but every day. Not just to kind of collapse in a heap on the sofa and fall asleep. So before we move on, I just want us to close our eyes again and just reflect about our typical weekday or working day, whatever you work, whether that's paid, voluntary, or housework at home. Just close your eyes, just think about that day and think about when in that day do you rest? And think about what do you do to rest. And then think about your typical week. Are you taking a Sabbath day of rest every week? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will give you rest for your souls. You can look up now. Jesus modelled how to take Sabbath. He rested on the Sabbath like the rest of his friends, although he'd also break the Sabbath once by picking grains because they needed food to eat, so you've got to be careful about getting too religious about it. However, he did practice Sabbath, he did practice rest, he had lots of fun, he ate and drank, he spent a lot of time doing that in the Bible. And in this passage, when Jesus uses this word rest, it has kind of multiple meanings. It's a Greek word called anapao. And one meaning is to refresh or revive, as from labour or from a long journey. And maybe you've been working very hard at the moment to please God or please your boss, but can never do enough. And today your journey can come to an end. Jesus is promising to give you rest. Sometimes that word anapao is used in the New Testament as chains falling off someone's hands. Maybe you feel shackled by your inability to please God or please others. Well, it's time for those chains to fall off. Jesus is promising you rest. In Greek literature, that word anapao is used to describe a door that you can't quite open, but then suddenly flies open. Does it seem sometimes that the door of God's acceptance is blocked? Get ready for that door to be kicked open, because Jesus is giving you rest. That word is even used to describe a person who's in financial debt. But one day an envelope filled with cash arrives to remove all of that debt. Because of your past sins and past actions, do you feel like you owe a debt to God that you cannot repay? That doesn't have to be true anymore. An envelope filled with God's riches is in the mail. Jesus has promised you rest. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. I will refresh you, he says. I will make it easy. Look, with Jesus, you can be rejuvenated, renewed, rested, restored. What it's like maybe to be carrying a heavy burden and then be able to put it down, or to lie down in the bed after a hard day's work, or that moment of stopping, ceasing. That's what's in mind here. I think of the refreshment of a cold drink from an ice cold fridge or a mountain spring. That's what our hearts need. That's the need of our souls and minds to find rest. How restless and unsatisfied we are by nature. How hard it is to live in this fallen world of sin. We sin and we're sinned against. Things are spoilt by sin and we grow weary of it all. But in Christ there is rest, there is forgiveness, there is hope. Have you found rest in Christ? The rest of forgiveness of walking with God. You can find it in Jesus. If you simply put your trust in him, you will be right with God, and that burden will be gone, and you will find rest for your soul. God's grace is the only way to receive physical and spiritual rest. In Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Christianity is not a religion of struggling to do, but a relationship of resting in what has been done through Jesus. Jesus says, come as you are, walk with me, follow me. Today I'm not going to tell you how to respond, it's up to you, but and we're all at different stages of our journey, but however, wherever you are on your journey, can I encourage you to rest in Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you want to find out more about Jesus, we're going to be running an Alpha course here in September. There's details on our newsletter, or come and speak to me at the end if you want to know more. We also have small groups where you can study with others and pray with others. And you can ask questions about faith. says, come as you are, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come and rest in Jesus. Come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you welcome us just as we are. Help us to have faith to follow you. Help us to rest in you. Guide us in your ways. Teach us to love. Lead us by your Spirit, we pray. In your most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Ben, for your message. Very soon we'll have the opportunity to respond through Holy Communion. Before we do that, we're going to respond in some